Hello and welcome to Travels Through a Kingdom. It's Kaya Flynn with you until 7 this evening, and I do hope I find you well. You can let me know where you are this Sunday evening by texting or WhatsApping me on 083 300 3300. Let me know if you had any snow over the week. Luckily, I didn't have any snow over my side of the mountain in Castlemaine, but it was absolutely skinning. And I mean, the hot water bottle was filled nearly every 2 to 3 hours. Don't think they're impressed with it at home, but look, you need something to keep you warm. But let me know if you had any snow. And if you want to send in your snow pictures as well, you can do that on WhatsApp as well, or on Facebook Messenger if you wish. I always find it so funny that there's snow in March, because it's the beginning of spring and you get to see that little bit of regrowth. But then all of a sudden we just have these extreme weather conditions, and you know where it's coming from deep down, but it still makes your mind go bizarre, like as if to say, how does this happen? But another thing to point out with this cold weather and to be mindful of is just to leave out a little bit of seed or oats or anything for the birds as well, because they find it particularly hard to get their little bit of food as well. Now, in regards to our interview with Mike Egan last Sunday, we got lovely comments from Facebook on the Facebook post and on text and email. So thank you all so much for getting in touch in your droves as well. And if you want to listen back to our chat with Mike, you can listen back on the Radio Kerry podcast section or on Spotify or Apple iTunes. So all you have to do is search Travels Through a Kingdom and he should just pop up there with his big smiley face as well. And again, I want to say a massive thank you to Mike Egan for coming on the show and contacting us as well. Now, on tonight's show, we'll be heading to Liss Elton to meet John Bosco McMahon. We revisit the archive of Sean Hurley, and we have some music for you too, which comes from our first guest here on Travels Through a Kingdom tonight. We are joined by no other than John Kinsella. John lives in Listowel but is originally from Wexford and has moved here in the 1980s. John has a huge draw for ballads music, and it all started in his younger days as music was so popular in his family. I firstly asked John about where he grew up and when he moved to Listowel.
Well, I was born and reared in Wexford in a place called Kilmore. It's on the south coast, and spent my childhood there. We had a small farm, and my father was a small farmer, and he played the fiddle, which I think was more important to him. And he was on a Cayley band, and so that's where the music started out. I suppose he instilled the love of music into us. Like, you know, the whole family had two brothers and two sisters, and we all sang or played music or played guitars or some instruments. So that's where it all started out.
So your father was obviously a big inspiration for you for your singing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, yeah. He loved it. I remember people coming into the house, and you know, he'd have people, and he had a tape recorder, and he taped their songs and so forth. And all my childhood, I remember people listening to music in the house and various musicians coming and going, you know.
And where did the singing and the music bring you in life?
Well, we started out, I suppose, I remember actually we were in short pants, because I can remember a photograph at home with my brother and myself, Marty. And he had a white guitar. I don't know, you never see a white guitar now. We started off, we came across an album of the Clancy Brothers. That would be, I suppose, it's the early 60s anyway. And we started to learn songs like Brennan on the Moor and the Jug of Punch and the Shoals of Herring. And we used to play locally at concerts. And of course, there was a lot of, every little hall then had concerts, and they're a thing of the past now, of course. But and about late 63, 64, we actually got an opportunity to audition for Telefigeren. They had some programmes on, and we got invited, myself and my brother Marty got invited on to a programme called Shorsog of Spartley. It was it went out on a Sunday evening. And we actually got on, we were very popular in that, and we were on it about 6 times. I remember there were people like Twink and Al McCarl and Seamus Shannon and people like that. We were all children then, and we were all invited onto this programme. But it was a great start for us.
Mm-hmm. How did it feel when you first went on?
Well, to be fair, we weren't nervous because we were so young. We didn't think there was anything abnormal about it. Like, you know, if it was today, I probably wouldn't be near as confident. You know what I mean? But we loved it. We we probably didn't realise the opportunity we were getting, like, you know what I mean? So, as I say, my two sisters, Kathleen and Anne, they sang, and my brother, other brother, Nick, he played the guitar, and we had various groups, ballet groups and so forth down through the years, you know.
So as a family together, you did a lot of things together with the music.
We did, yeah. I remember we... back in the kind of the early to mid-60s then, or maybe 64, 65, ballad contests or ballad group contests were very popular then at the Kilkenny Beer Festival. Had a big one. And my dad and my the rest of us formed the group, and we entered in that. And it was just great. We met all the groups that were going then. We're at the same time with Emmett Spiceland and the Johnsons and the Ludlows and all these groups who went on to be quite famous, most of them, like, you know.
And that was in the 60s?
That was the 60s, yeah. Yeah, about up until about 1966 or so. I joined the ESB then I did other things, I suppose. Like, I had a job to look after and so forth. I was serving my time with ESB, and I took a backseat role then at that stage, like, mm-hmm. you know.
And by taking that backseat role, did it give you time to reflect on what you'd like to do with music?
Not really, no. No. There's just that I suppose I wasn't at home all the time. I was away from home in different places with the ESB as an apprentice, and I wasn't available really, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then about in the 1970 then I started back into it, because I was finished my time then, and I knew where I was every day, and I suppose I might have got a little car or something like that, and I was available again to the family started singing again, and we had an opportunity in 1970 and 71, I think it was. We actually we got an opportunity to appear in the Royal Albert Hall on two successive years. I remember topping the bill one year was Dana, and the Bachelors were topping the bill another year, and Jenny McAvoy, I think. And the concerts were organised by the London Wexford Men's Association. And so I suppose that's why we had a bit of a foothold there, because we were from Wexford, so forth. So, but it was a great achievement at the time, I think, mm-hmm. to appear before 6,000 people, you know.
Yeah, how old were you around then?
I was about 20 at that stage, I suppose, you know. Yeah,
yeah, that must have been so exciting.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was great, really, like, you know. I suppose, you know, although in a way we didn't realise, you know, what we were achieving by, I mean, people were given their IT to get into the Royal Albert Hall, you know. But it was great. Looking back on it, was fantastic. And we have photographs of that and so forth, you know, and we even have a programme of one of the events, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose, like that, you said you didn't realise at the time how amazing it was, but you were just doing something you loved. So it was easy for you.
Absolutely, yeah. It was great, yeah. Yeah, and I remember, like, that was my first time in London. I remember, you know, staying out in London and hearing all the different names that we had kind of heard of. You know, we were staying with the people, the people that had emigrated. Like, you know what I mean? We weren't in hotels or anything like that. You know, so it was great to travel around London and see a bit of London at that stage. You know, so lovely. We had a lovely time. Yeah.
And can you remember what you performed?
We would have sung Slaney Valley. And we would have, well, there would have been all ballads, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And we sang a song called Gra Machree, I'd Like to See Old Ireland Free Once More. And Carried Down, I think it was another ballad we sang. So it's a long time ago, but there are three that come to mind anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned as well that you and your family released an LP. So tell us a bit about that.
We did, yeah. Yeah, that was that was around the same time, the early 70s. And yeah, that was great. Actually, we won a ballad contest, I think. Maybe it was in our hometown of Wexford. And one of the prizes was we got a chance to record an LP in a studio in Donegal. I remember at the time it was a long way from Wexford. And I remember actually at the time we had to travel through the border. It was in... Where was it in Donegal? But we had to travel through the border to get to Donegal, and the soldiers were on the border at that stage. And I remember we were a bit frightened, actually. They had their rifles kind of, as you talked to them at the checkpoint, they had their rifles ready to go, you know. So yeah, it was a bit nerve-wracking. But anyway, we went to Donegal and we recorded the album, and it went well, really. It was called the Kinsella Family Album. And so, yeah, it was a great achievement to especially for the whole family. My dad and my sister Anne and my brothers Nick and Marty and myself. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was nice to get done.
And
yeah,
how long
yeah.
did it take you to record that?
I'd say a weekend, kind of 2 days. You know, yeah. But I suppose if it was today, we'd probably be 2 months doing it. But no, just the weekend. Kind of, if it sounds okay, you probably take it as being okay, you know. Yeah. But it was.
When you moved to Listowel, could you find a community that enjoyed ballad singing or anything like that?
Well, I moved in 1980, which is what, 43 years ago. And when I moved first, I wasn't really involved in singing at that stage, except that people realised that I could sing a little bit and play the accordion. And I often got asked to kind of charity events and things like that. Like, you know, I remember going with Michael Dowling, God be good to Michael, and to Ballybunion, to the Towers, to play for people in the summer. And you'd be asked for charity, which was great. That's all I wanted, because there's no pressure once you're singing at a charity event. You're not getting paid. You don't have to perform. So it's great that way. And so I didn't do, that's about all I did in the 80s. And about 1992, yeah. Joan Mulvihill. Joan was the musical director of the St. Mary's Folk Group in Listowel at that stage. And Joan asked me, would I join the folk group? Because I think they had a musician, Sister Anne O'Leary, and she was leaving the group. I think she went abroad. And they needed somebody for intros and just general backing, because they had a couple of guitars, but they needed a bit of music, I suppose. And I joined up. I said I'd give it a go anyway. And that's 31 years ago, and I'm still with them, and I love it. It's great. Music is music, no matter what type of music you play. I think it's you know, you still have to you take a bit of music, and you know you start out and it's raw, and you end up with a group, and you make something out of it that people like to listen to. Mm-hmm.
And it's a lovely way to make friends and
absolutely
people
yeah
interests.
Yeah, I've made great friends and still have great friends in the Listowel Folk Group. Yeah mm-hmm. Great.
And John, why ballads?
I suppose really I play the accordion. Kind of it lends itself to ballads, you know what I mean, because they can be slow or okay, you can play little fast ones, the jolly numbers as well, but I suppose that's I was into country music as well over the years, but I couldn't compete with them, so I decided I'd stick with the ballads. Mm-hmm. And then about 10 years ago I wondered, would I be able to write a ballad, you know? And it's quite funny, because I love sea songs and sea shanties and things like that. And I had a collection of them kind of in my head. And then I said, I wonder, would I be able to write one of my own to go with them? And maybe sometime I might record something. So I remember my wife, Tina, she was going downtown to get her hair done. And I sat down at the keyboard. And before she came home, I had a song written, and I couldn't believe it myself, because I was very pleased with it. And that song was called The Jeannie Johnston. Mm. And I think I did ask afterwards, add one more verse to the song. But other than that, I didn't change anything. Mm. And I realized that it was possible to do it at that stage. And then I kind of got interested in entering songs in there's two kind of new ballad contests around the Kerry area. One is the Sean McCarty in Fanoog in August, and the other is in Abbeyfeal, and it's the Gary McMahon weekend in October. And I've been entering both of those now for last 5 or 6, 7 years, and I've won the Sean McCarty twice, so I've been quite successful in it. And it's a great opportunity to be able to write a song and actually know that you're actually going to be able to perform it in front of people who are actually interested in listening to you, you know. And at least then you know where you stand. So I'm grateful for the Sean McCarty and the Gary McMahon ballad contests for allowing, giving me the opportunity to express myself, I suppose, or find out how good or how bad I am.
And what makes a good ballad?
Oh God, that ballad. It's difficult to know. I suppose some of my songs are humorous because most ballads, they're traditional ballads. They're all about immigration and they're all about, the fight for freedom and so forth. And it's fairly difficult to find a kind of a theme to write about. So when I get something, I can, you know, it's just thinking of something to write about. I find the most difficult, and when I have that, then I can usually sit down and put a bit of music. I usually write the music and then the words at the same time. It's just the way I do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you have this lovely ballad as well of the Maharees. Where did your inspiration for that come?
We have a mobile home in the Maharees, so I know how beautiful the area is, and I got there's a history book on the Maharees written, and I got a lend of that from Brendan Courtney down in the Maharees, and Brendan gave it to me, and I read it and I looked up the statistics for immigration from the Maharees were unbelievable, in that I think the population decreased by something like 50% or something from 1900 to 1940. And the song about the Maharees then that I sang is based on that, like, you know what I mean. It was just an inspiration for me to write a song about that.
John, you have released your own CD. This is your first CD, is it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Tell us a bit about the process of that, because you've been working on it a long time.
I've been writing ballads maybe nearly 10 years now, and I decided that I had six that I'd like to record, but that was August 2019, and I started the process then, but I'm afraid the COVID came in soon afterwards, and then it got put on the shelf for maybe 18 months or so, and only last summer did I get a chance to kind of to finish those off with Brendan O'Connor down in Killarney, and so anyway, I got it out, and people like it. That's all. If people like some of the songs, that's fantastic. I don't have to like them all, even, like, you know, but they're my effort anyway, and it's nice to have them. Have them down, you know. Mm-hmm.
And if people want to get that CD, where can they get it?
They can ask me for it. I have some. There are some on sale in the Shanachie Centre in Listowel, and I have others in the Ard Coram Centre in Listowel, and they want them. It's not. You know, I'll never make money out of it, but it's nice to get them out there and mm-hmm. allow people to listen to them, and maybe some people are getting enjoyment out of them. That's the most important thing, you know.
And what does it mean for you to look at that CD and be like, I finally have it done now, and it's my own, and it's all my work?
It's nice to have it done, but if I listen to it, you're never too pleased with your own performance, really, in the long run, like, you know, even though that's the best I can do, but you're never really like listening to yourself too much, like, you know what I mean, because you'll find a little criticism that and things that other people wouldn't even dream of finding, you know what I mean, but it's grand to have it done. I'm delighted that is there anyway, you know.
Well, John, we'll leave it at that, but you're going to perform some music for us as well, for us in just a few moments. So which ones are you planning on performing?
I'll do the Maharees, and I'll do the Free Travel.
And that was John Kinsella speaking to me on Travels Through a Kingdom. And as promised, here is one of his two songs for tonight, Goodbye to the Maharees. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom. You're with myself, Kaya Flynn, until 7. And you can get in touch by texting or WhatsApp on 083 300 3300, or by emailing kflynn@radiokerry.ie. And if you ever want to send in a letter or a note or anything like that, we're on Radio Kerry Main Street 30 as well. And you can just address it to Kay Flynn if you wish. I know my name is a bit of a hard one to spell, K-A-Y-A, so no one ever gets it first time. And that's totally understandable too. Now, next on our travels, we hit Liselton, a place I haven't been to before on the show. And I met with John Bosco McMahon, and he tells us of his life and the Donkey Derby days.
I'm John Bosco McMahon from Cork Liselton.
John, where did you get the nickname Bosco?
The name Bosco came from Australia, I think. My grandfather was out in Australia. Mm-hmm. And when he came back, he bought a farm in Ballybunnan, and he bought a farm here. He'd been working then, like, you know, and then he come in here. There was no one living here. I came here 42, 3 years ago. My father then was an only son. And he was christened Mike Bosco McMahon as well. Oh. And I'd be John Bosco McMahon.
Oh, very good.
So that's how the name came.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah, and it's amazing, and it's stuck on, like, you know.
Will it stick on for years again?
Oh, I'd say so. My young fella's called Sean Busco, you know.
Oh, that's lovely.
Isn't it amazing? And Peter and I have two boys and a girl, and they'll be called Buscos again as well. Now, isn't it funny?
And how many years have you been living here?
I'm living here for 42 or 3 years now. Okay. But I was born inside in Ballybunnan near the church. There's a caravan park there on my old home. It's the oldest house, as a matter of fact, in Ballybunnan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And was there many of you? Were, did
there
you
were
have
six boys and one girl. That's three boys dead now. Oh. Three boys alive and one girl. She's still, and she's the oldest.
And what was life like then?
Life was very good then. Mm-hmm. Sure, Ballybunnan was outstanding. That time we had a dance hall there, the central ballroom. Mm-hmm. And it was on 7 nights a week. The one band playing there for 3 months of the year, the same band every night, Morris Mulcahy. And the smallest crowd that would be there would be 3,000. And that would be every night of the week. Monday night would be as big as Sunday night. You had from 3,000 to 3,500. I think there was 4,000 recorded there one time.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Central Ballroom. Matt Sullivan had owned it. And you had the Atlantic Inn. After that, there was 3 dance halls with the ballerina. And you had Coyley's East End. Mm-hmm. But the Central Ballroom was the spot. If we were coming up the street, when the road should be going down to the centre, we'd have to turn and go with the crowd of people. It was unreal.
And were you a good dancer?
I was trying. I loved all dancing. I loved all dancing. I did. I loved the dancing.
Now, tell me a bit about you and donkeys. Where did that all start?
Oh, geez, I'm a lover of donkeys since I was about 7 or 8 years of age. Mm-hmm. I've been mad for donkeys and ponies since I was very young, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. And why was that?
You know, in the name of God. My father liked all horses and things as well, like, you know, and my grandfather, so I'd say, the book for horses and donkeys is in the blood. Mm-hmm. All them things, I'd say, and all genes, like, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd breed all horses to sell them and that's a share them, and I'd done a lot of pony racing. Mm-hmm. I had a great pony one time. He was famous. A pony called the Rake. He'd be well known around back in Wigwam. He won in Dingle for years and that, yeah. And all the jockeys had to go on him. I have a reward I got for him. Will I show you that?
Yeah, do. Oh, isn't that gorgeous? So that was Benny Donoghue in 1994 at the Parish Awards. What exactly was that for?
For the Rake. For having the Rake, like, and all the races he won.
And how many races did he win?
Oh, Jesus, you can make it up. For 6 or 7 years, anyhow, he averaged about 25 or 6 races a year.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was winning both days in Dingle. Mm-hmm. And he was meeting different horses every day he went out.
Yeah.
Even from Wales. They came from Wales, you know.
And did you ever, you know, ride any horses or anything?
Oh, I did. I used to ride that Rake the whole time. I trained him here myself at home. Mm-hmm. I used to take him to the beach. I often took him when I'd be for Dingle. I'd take him in the morning and the evening to Ballybunnan at the Bale to the beach. Mm-hmm. I'd canter him in the beach and I'd done a lot of work out in the water with him. Kept him out deep in the water, not swimming, but pulling in the water. It was great for the muscles and great for the leg.
And to this day right now, you have 7 donkeys. So what's your love with the donkeys and the donkey derbies over the years?
Mad for the donkeys. I have 4. There is 4 donkeys back in Ballydough. You pass them now.
Okay.
Grazing. I have a mare donkey back the field there. And I, like I said, I use one of them every second day, taking out hay to the horses back the land. I rip up the bale of hay, into the cart, and off he goes with his load of hay.
Aww.
And he won a lot of derbies too, the one I have. He's getting old now, but he's still as fresh as a daisy.
How old is he?
He's 20.
Really?
He's 20. But a donkey's on in his prime at 20. Oh. A first cousin of mine had a donkey in Ballybunnan, and he lived to be 41 or 2.
Really?
A donkey'd make 30, no bother.
And how was that?
You know, the donkey and the mule and the genet have a long lifespan.
They say that donkeys are very emotionally intelligent, though. Would you agree?
Oh, they are. Donkeys as clever as a pet fox. Yeah.
What makes them so clever?
You could train an old donkey to do anything, like, you know.
Yeah.
And they're a pet, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. And what are your donkeys' names?
Barney Jack. The Knight of Argonne was the good donkey there. The Knight of Argonne. And Nelly called the mare donkey. and Jack and Bill. I've named them all.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
Names them all. Yeah. Names them all. The Donkey Derby in 1955 in the Stole, I think it was the first one. I was there, so I'm around the Woodbys. The Donkey in the Stole, the Donkey Derby in the Stole was as good as any night, day of the races in the Stole. I suppose there'd be 3,000 people in the square in the Stole the night of the Donkey Derby. Mm-hmm. And donkeys came from all over the country. Cork, Limerick, came down from the north.
Do you have any days in particular from the Donkey Derbies that stands out to you in your memory?
And the only thing I remember about Donkey Derbies is inclined to fight now and again. If I thought I wouldn't get in fair play,
yeah,
I'd be inclined to rise the row.
Okay.
But truly, like I say, was outstanding as well.
Mm-hmm.
But all the Carnivals, we'll say Belly Longfoot and Bale and, you know, Finnoo, there were Donkey Derbies every year. Which is a pity they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gone, I'd say, for good now with insurance. Because there was a great one there in Spencil Hill every year, and they weren't allowed to run it at all now for the last couple of years. And there was another great derby in Barragoan. It was £1,000 for the win in Barragoan.
Oh, wow.
And going back to 1955 in the Stole, it was 100 if we won at that time in 1955. And it came up to 300 or 400 and 500 before they done away with him. Oh. And that was ran in the street in the Stole, I suppose. It was dangerous. Although there was no one ever hurt or anything there.
Mm-hmm.
They was running down Church Street, yeah. Stopped above at the graveyard and down into the square.
Yeah.
The roaring and the crowds of people, you couldn't imagine. Whether there's any videos of it or not, no, I couldn't say.
Mm-hmm.
But those great times.
Mm-hmm. And you have a few trophies here in front of me that you won a couple of years back. So tell us about those.
This is the one now, the last donkey we had. He's dead now, the night of our gone. He won that.
Okay. And what did he win that for?
Donkey in Tralee, he won that.
Mm-hmm.
In Tralee. And then he won this 3 years in a row. This was a record because any donkey never won it 3 years, one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And this donkey won it. And so my own son that was riding him, the lad, no, who wrote him, maybe he wrote him too. I think it was the Jimmy Goggin that wrote him the first time he won. And my own young fella then wrote him after, and he got the trophy for winning it, the same donkey, winning it 3 years in a row.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez, you must have been so proud.
Oh, I'm proud out.
Yeah.
I know, big old tripping dog donkey would win, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was a big team and he'd win.
When you were younger, were you farmers, were you?
Yeah, farmers.
And did you make your own vegetables and spuds and everything?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'd done a lot of tillage in Ballyburn because we supply hotels and things.
Oh, very good. What was that like?
Oh, very good. I tried to have the spuds as early as you could for the hotels. We often sat spuds in February, now the 17th and 18th of February in Ballybunnan. The ground was very dry in Ballybunnan, like, you know.
Oh, very good. And when could you take them up then?
Oh, I deliver them down to Alaskan Cow, the Pawning Cow. We live near the town, you see. We're on just on top of the town.
Yeah.
And we supply milk in from home, like, you know. There'd be about 24 or 5 getting milk out of us morning and evening for years when we were growing up.
And were you delivering them?
So there was always a big old pan in there that you'd be putting more fish in. Grabbing a few coppers out of the thing.
Aww.
But we'd have milk for the winter as well. We'd have so many cows calving knocked over to supply the customers for the winter months, like, you know.
And were the winter months harder?
Oh, to the course, yeah, yeah. Okay. You had to milk morning and evening. This is full time. You had no break. We were milking someone in winter that time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but we wouldn't be milking as many, maybe 7 or 8 cows for the supply.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But there'll be changes. No pasteurising, no nothing. I think the people are way healthier. So that's the story, no?
That's the story. And that was John Bosco McMahon with us here on Travels Through a Kingdom. And I hope you enjoyed that as well. He was a lovely person. And he took me out to see all his animals as well. And I was in my absolute element with the goats, the donkey, everything and above. Thank you so, so much, John. Really appreciated you taking the time to talk to us here on the programme. Let us know your thoughts or stories by getting in touch tonight on text 083 300 3300 or email kflynn@radiokerry.ie. We'll have another song from John Kinsella on the way and the archive of Sean Hurley. But first, we must take a break. So we'll be back after these. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom with myself, Kaya Flynn, on Until 7. Now it's time to revisit the archive of Sean Hurley.
To the Ballylongford Parish Hall for Active Retirement Day in a programme that was recorded on March the 18th. Here once again is Thonal O'Connor.
I left Ballylongford in 78 and moved to Tarbuck. Yes. And but I still, that's where you go to school and where you make your young friends. Today you always feel attached to. And even though my parents came from Tarbuck, I don't feel as comfortable in Tarbuck as I do in Ballylongford. That's the strange thing about it. But anyway, I come back here then to the Rambling House on last Saturday night of the month.
Yes.
And we have a session here. Now, it is held in the kitchen next door, which you were in a while ago, because it is more cosy in there, and we're on the table, and there isn't a whole pile of room. Yes. But anyway, I wrote a little poem to commemorate what's going on there, kind of, you know.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of them here that are here at the moment are mentioned, and some that aren't. But I called it Kitty's Kitchen. Oh, Kitty, right. Yeah, Kitty's
yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Here's a toast to the latest creations that are now spreading over our land. I refer to the Rambling House sessions, where the crack and the music is grand. Today you'll find young and old gathered, with a smattering of those in between, all with a love of our culture and music, of our dances and wild shanakees. But of all the great sessions I've savoured, from the Shannon way out to the field, the wonderful meat extra biscuit is in Valley, where the Lion River flows down to Saline. There Kitty rules over her kitchen, like a chef that you'd see on TV. There with Mamie, Teresa and Lizzie beside her, she serves up her super bowl tea. Anita then sets the show rolling as she strums on her trusty guitar and sings songs of freedom and moments by songwriters from near and afar. Musty then picks up his accordion while Paddy unbags his bourgeon, and the great music sets us all at our tapping, because sadly there's no room for dancing at all. But Mamie was never found wanting. To the great music she has to respond, and in 2 ticks she is up on the table while the rest of us cheer her along. Confess Gerald then grabs our attention as he tells the way things used to be, as he struggled alone and unaided to cremate his great friend Sam McGee. Then Dan Kimmich then tells a few stories of the ballet that he used to know before he was exiled to Tarbuck in a swap for the bad years ago. And Helen, the lass from Killarney, sings of friendship in 1916, when she puts on her shiny black beret. Morris M shouts 3 cheers for the Queen. Nookie keeps us amused with his yarns, picked up down the ears in the bar, and a frown from our jovial MC Massey redirects when he feels that he's going too far. We enjoy our friends from that part of the valley, with their recitations, music and song, where the talents of Keane and of Drury in a new generation lives on. And I'm sure from their stage up in heaven, music greats from our old parish hall, the likes of Minehan, Mulvihill and McGibbon are saying, keep it going, 'twas folks like us started it all. You know?
And that was Sean Hurley's archive of Kerrywide here on Travels Through a Kingdom. Now, before we go, I want to say a big thank you to John Kinsella and John Bosco McMahon for coming on the show this evening and sharing their stories with us here. It is always so lovely to hear anyone's story, and I find everyone so fascinating that I've had on the programme here. Everyone has such a different path in life, and I just think it's really inspiring to hear all of those stories. And if you want to get in touch with myself at any point, again, you can email me at kflynn@radiokerry.ie if you'd love to share your story, or someone that you'd recommend on the programme as well. Or you can write a letter to me at Radio Kerry Main Street, Tralee, and just address it to Kaya Flynn or Kay Flynn, whichever suits you. They're more than welcome to, and I absolutely love a letter because I do cherish them for a very long time. Now, stay tuned here on Radio Kerry as Elaine is on the way with 7 days, and then the lovely Sean Riley is on from 8. But taking us out this evening is John Kinsella and his song, The Free Travel.